34, Section 4, Society and Culture in Royal Georgia. As you read, look for the growth of religious groups in Georgia, opportunities for education, terms, denomination. For the free white settlers of Georgia, especially those who lived in Georgia's towns, opportunities for education improved, although they remain limited. Opportunities for religious worship also grew as new churches were founded. In Savannah especially, new clubs and social groups provided ways for colonists to join together for such purposes as helping others and having fun. African slaves sometimes had time for worship, but they had little freedom and few opportunities for gathering together for enjoyment. Religion. As Georgia increased in both population and stability under the royal government, organized religion also grew. As you learned earlier, the government-supported church was the Church of England, and the parish vestry was the local governing body. In fact, there were vestries in every parish, but some parishes did not yet have churches. Ministers of the Anglican Church were ordained in England and then sent to the colony. Some ministers were supported by a charitable organization called the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel in Foreign Parts, SPG, whose purpose was to encourage the Anglican religion in all parts of the British Empire. Without its support, there would have been even less formal religion in the colony. The most successful minister sent to Savannah during the royal period was Bartholomew Zauberbühler, who served from 1745 until his death in 1766. Zauberbühler was dedicated to his parishioners and well-liked in the colony. The church membership grew, he ministered to those outside Savannah, and he finally got the first church building constructed. He also asked the SPG to send a minister to convert slaves to Christianity. Not all Anglican ministers were as effective. The first Anglican minister sent to Augusta wrote that he was in the wilds of America. He did not stay, nor did several who followed. Finally, in 1765, James Seymour arrived and effectively served the backcountry area of St. Paul's Parish. Although Georgia was officially an Anglican colony, other religious groups practiced their worship without much interference. Royal Georgia still had a large Lutheran population, not only in Ebenezer, but also in the communities of Bethany, Goshen, and Zion. The Jerusalem Church, built in Ebenezer in 1769, still stands. John Martin Bolsius was the principal minister, and he had an assistant and later a second assistant. Between them, they served all the Lutheran churches in Georgia, including the one in Savannah. Unfortunately, after the death of the capable Bolsius in 1765, a split occurred among the Lutherans that caused great discord. No minister emerged as the leader, and church members divided their loyalties between the remaining ministers. The Puritan Congregationalists built two churches in what is called meeting house style, in Midway and in Sunbury. They believed that church buildings should be simple with very plain lines and no decorations. In their religion, each congregation made its own decisions and did not have to answer to church leaders from somewhere else. The Presbyterians originally were centered in Darien, part of St. Andrew's Parish. As more Scots-Irish Presbyterians migrated to the colony in the royal period, they lived and worshipped in various places. Presbyterian minister John Joachim Zubley preached at the church called the Independent Meeting House in Savannah. Like Zauberbühler, Zubley became well-liked in the community. There were other religious groups in Royal Georgia, but their numbers were small. The Jewish community in Savannah grew slightly. However, their numbers were few, and they met for the Jewish Sabbath in members' homes. By the 1770s, the Baptist movement was gaining converts in the backcountry. In 1774, Baptist minister Daniel Marshall founded a Baptist congregation near Keokie Creek, near modern-day Appling in Columbia County. This denomination, an organized religious group, grew quickly in the backcountry during the next few years. Each Baptist congregation was independent, and that worked well on the frontier. While some slave owners kept their slaves away from churches, many churches served both blacks and whites. Some slave owners brought their slaves with them. Reverend Zauberbühler was pleased to see blacks join his service, and many blacks also came to the Independent Presbyterian Church, where Reverend Zubley preached. The Reverend John Osgood at Midway Church also had a biracial congregation. Many slaves also worshiped on the plantations where they lived and worked. Education. The opportunities for getting an education in colonial Georgia remained limited, but they did improve during the royal period. Schoolmasters sometimes advertised that they would teach children for a fee. The resulting income for teachers was low, and many could do better by getting land and becoming farmers. Bethesda remained the most effective school, but founder George Whitefield's dream of turning it into a college did not happen. The Anglican Church opposed it because Whitefield had Methodist leanings. Unfortunately, Bethesda burned down in 1773 and was not rebuilt for many years. The other effective school was the one the Lutherans in Ebenezer maintained for their children. The lack of an organized system of formal education does not mean that all Georgians were uneducated. Many of the ministers, as well as merchants and planters, were learned men. They read the Georgia Gazette as well as books. Merchants and planters sometimes sent their sons to other colonies or to England for an education. There, they studied such regular subjects as English, math, and foreign languages, including Latin, Greek, and sometimes French. Classes might also be offered in fencing, dancing, surveying, and for women, needlework. Books were available in bookshops such as the one owned by Georgia Gazette printer James Johnston. Some Georgians kept libraries of their own, and Savannah had a library that colonists could pay a subscription to use. Social life. Georgians occasionally abandoned work for special events in the colony. Those special events included celebrations held each year in honor of the King's birthday and the days honoring England's and Scotland's patron saints, St. George and St. Andrew. Parades of government officials, flag raisings, cannons and guns firing, and bonfires all marked these gatherings. Weddings and funerals were also times for coming together. As the coastal area became more settled, clubs and organizations began to emerge in the more urban areas, especially Savannah. These groups were for men, since women were expected to concentrate their efforts in their homes. One of the earliest groups, the Union Society, had begun in 1750 during the trustee period. Originally an organization of artisans, it later included planters and professionals. The officers elected were a mixture of middle-class artisans and more elite planters and professionals, so men of different economic classes mixed together. The society did charitable deeds, such as paying for the schooling of several children each year. The Union Society planned and oversaw the annual St. George's Day celebration. The St. Andrew's Club, founded at McHenry's Tavern in 1764, was in charge of the St. Andrew's Day festivities. There was also a St. Patrick's Society in honor of Ireland's patron saint. The Freemasons, founded early in the trustee period, continued during the royal period and had many prominent Georgians as members. They were a secret society whose activities were not known to the general public. By the end of the royal period, although still not as strong or as prosperous as the older colonies, Georgia had become more like the others. the colony was growing, becoming economically stronger, and developing institutions for education, religion, and social life. The idealism of the trustees had been replaced by the reality of slavery and the inequality of social classes among the free inhabitants. Much of the growth and increasing prosperity had occurred under the leadership of Governor James Wright, who had been popular with those he governed. Unfortunately for Wright, events beyond his control would end the relative harmony of Georgia and put the colony on the road to rebellion. Reviewing the section, 1. Define denomination. 2. What was the official church of colonial Georgia? 3. What was the purpose of special celebrations held every year in Georgia? Page 238, Chapter Review. Chapter Summary. Section 1. Government in Royal Georgia. When Georgia became a royal colony, the charter that had served as the framework of government no longer applied. The royal government was headed by a governor appointed by the king. The governor was assisted by a 12-member governor's council of prominent local leaders appointed by the king. The council was also the upper house of a bicameral legislature. The colony also had an elected assembly called the Commons House of Assembly, consisting of and elected by the free white men of the colony who owned property. Georgia's three royal governors were John Reynolds, Henry Ellis, and James Wright. The French and Indian War began during Governor Reynolds' term. Georgia was not much affected by the war, although Georgia's southern border was extended to the St. Mary's River. In 1758, Georgia was divided into 8 parishes, which were both government and religious districts. The vestry was the local parish governing board. The 1763 Treaty of Augusta opened up over 3 million acres to settlement. 4 new parishes were established in the new territory. Section 2. Economic Development in Royal Georgia. In the period after the French and Indian War, Georgia's economy was basically agricultural. Important cash crops of the period were rice and indigo. Naval stores and the fur trade were also important parts of the economy. The 3 ways to acquire land in Royal Georgia were 1. To buy it, 2. To receive it as a gift or inheritance, and 3. By the headright system. Under the headright system, the government granted a certain number of acres to the head of a household and his or her dependents. Georgia's growing towns supported a number of occupations. Section 3. Population growth in Royal Georgia. New settlers came into the colony, including Puritans, Quakers, Scots-Irish, and Crackers. Georgia also saw the growth of slavery as slaves were brought in to work on the rice and indigo plantations. In 1755, Georgia passed a slave code which governed the actions of both slaves and slave owners. Section 4. Society and Culture in Royal Georgia. While the Church of England was Georgia's official church, other denominations flourished in the colony, including Lutheran, Congregational, Presbyterian, Jewish, and Baptist. Many denominations of the period had both black and white members. Opportunities for formal education during the royal period were limited. Merchants and planters often sent their sons abroad for education or hired tutors. Page 239 contains a review of Chapter 10.